You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening. This week, episode 40, it is WrestleMania week. We are going back to wrestling games. My buddy Andre is here, and we are talking WWE SmackDown. Here comes the pain for the PlayStation 2. Probably the only wrestling game that can get into a conversation with No Mercy as far as the greatest of all time goes, at least by the overall majority of society standards. If you're listening to this and you have an alternate opinion, that's fine. I just don't want to hear it. I'm half serious. You guys, thanks for listening. This is the last wrestling one for a while. I know that in 40 episodes, I think we've burned three or four wrestling games now. The download numbers on them are always good. People seem to be into them. I think we all played wrestling games growing up, at least at one point anyway. But this is the last one for a while. I just figured it's WrestleMania week. It's WrestleMania season. It's the biggest time of the year for WWE. I'd get topical because maybe I could cash in on some hashtags and get a few more downloads. So speaking of hashtags, I hashtag on Twitter and I do it on Instagram because we're on both. You can find us at Member the Game. We follow back everyone that follows. So come find us. Say hi. That'd be pretty cool. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/Remember the Game. You can find us there. And then we have a website. Hopefully you found it. This podcast through it, but rememberthegamepodcast.com. You'll find blogs for all of our all of our episodes and links to download the show on just about any service you want. So come find us on one or all of those things. That would be pretty cool. We'd really appreciate it. And yeah, that's it. I don't want to get too far into the wrestling thing. This isn't a wrestling podcast. This is a fucking video game podcast. But as anyone that listening to this knows, Or maybe not anyone, I guess. I shouldn't. Good fucking podcasting, Adam. Just rambling. If you don't know, I am a huge wrestling fan. I love it. I've been a pro wrestling fan most of my life. I have been kicking around the idea for a podcast about wrestling forever. I don't know if I've got the time to sink into a second one. But WrestleMania season is traditionally about the best time of the year to be a wrestling fan. It's from the Royal Rumble in January up to WrestleMania in early April. And I'll be honest with you guys, like, anyone listening to this that's a wrestling fan, I'd be curious to know what you think. Like, this looks like an awful WrestleMania. And I'm a very big believer of benefit of the doubt. Let's wait and see if this sucks or not. But, like, this does not look good. The card sucks. I mean, there's only one or two matches I'm really interested in. I'm still going to watch it. But, I don't know. It just doesn't look good. It sucks. Wrestling's just not what it used to be, you know? To me, like, when I look back at pro wrestling, I consider there, I mean, I think most people consider the Attitude Era from the late 90s to be like the pinnacle of pro wrestling. I think you could give an argument to like the Hulk Hogan era, the WrestleMania era, whatever you want to call it, from the 80s and the early 90s too. But then there is another era that I think doesn't get the props it deserves, and it's right after the Attitude Era, right after the Invasion ended and they shut down WCW and ECW and everything. I believe the technical term for it is the Ruthless Aggression era. I think that's what they call it. But and it's from this when this game came out, and that's early 2000s, you know, when you had when I think of that, it's the only time in wrestling history I think of SmackDown before I think of Raw. And I think of the SmackDown 6, which, if you don't know, are Eddie and Chavo Guerrero, Kurt Angle, Edge, Rey Mysterio, and Chris Benoit. Little awkward, but whatever. But then you also have, like, yeah, Brock Lesnar, you know, I think Biker Taker, I guess, was around back then. At least I think he was. I don't know, man, just some great fucking wrestling. John Cena debuted then. Actually, I tried to get his music into this episode. I don't know if it's going to work. We're going to find out when you're listening to this, because as I record this intro, I don't know if the music's going to work when I try to upload it or not. Anyway, wrestling used to be a lot of fun. It kind of sucks now, but that's then, this is now, now is now, that was then. We're going back to then, we're going back to 2003 when wrestling was fucking rad, and we were talking Here Comes the Pain this week, my buddy Andre. Quickly, before I get into that, a couple other things I wanted to point out. I know these, no one's complaining these are too long, and when, boy, I suck at this. I've had a lot of coffee today, too. Too long-winded yet. If you think they are too long-winded, please don't say that in a review, just tell me in private, that'd be nice. I just wanted to give out a shout out to someone that's been leaving me some comments and some reviews, and that's my buddy Klotz. He's a really old friend of mine. Klotz is his last name. I don't know if he wants his full name given away, so I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to say Klotz. Fucking really old buddy of mine. And he has been listening to them on YouTube and leaving me funny comments. So, hey, buddy, I hope you hear this. If you do, fucking life is good. Go Stonecutters. That's our old hockey team. He'll know what I'm talking about. And thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it. Thanks to all of you guys that have reached out with some kind words and comments and supporting the show. Like I say it every week, I can't tell you how much I appreciate any of the support I get. I was at EB Games this week. That's the other thing I wanted to touch on. I don't go in there much anymore. I buy most of my games digital, but there's a new Yoshi game released for the Nintendo Switch the last week, Yoshi's Crafted World. And it's pretty easy. It's about what I expected, but it seems like a perfect one to play with my girlfriend. She doesn't play a lot of video games. She'll say it herself. I'm not trying to slam her. She's not super good at them. Sorry, I was just fixing something on my sound there. I hope that didn't screw up the sound too much. You guys are used to being a subpar podcast. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Anyway, so I went and bought Yoshi so Shaylee and I could play it together. And my thought was I bought it physical because once I'm done it, I'm going to trade it in or sell it or something. But, like, man, every time I go into EB Games, that's the point I was trying to get to about 30 seconds ago when I started this. Every time I go into EB Games, it just feels like there's more and more crap and less games. Like, the EB stands for everything but games. And I understand that they're a business and they need to evolve with the times. But, like, I'll tell you, if I was like a shareholder, if I fucking owned a store, or if I worked there even, and if you're listening to this and you work there, I'm not trying to say you're going to lose your job tomorrow or anything, but like the writing is on the wall, isn't it? Like they're in trouble. You know, more and more people are going digital or they're buying their games off Amazon. I hardly know anyone that just shops regularly at EB Games anymore. And it's like, it just is so much crap. You go in and it's just fucking those Funko Pop heads everywhere and t-shirts and plush toys and cups and keychains. And there's like 400 PlayStation Classics piled up in one corner of the store. And then it's like in one little small edge, there's the video games. It just, you know, like it's almost like they should don't call it EB Games or GameStop or whatever anymore. Just call it fucking like Toys R Us 2 or something. I don't know. Anyway, It's less me shitting on them. Well, I guess I am kind of shitting on them, but that's not what I was trying to do. I was just trying to point out that, like, there's a lot of garbage in there now, and it's kind of sad, because there was a time where I fucking loved going to EB Games, and I don't really enjoy it anymore now, because I feel like I'm just waiting through someone, not waiting, but waiting through, like, some fucking hoarder's collection to try to look at some video games, you know? It's just a mess. Also, Sega announced details on their Sega Genesis Classic this week, and it's coming out, I think it's September of this year. It's pretty cool that they're taking so much time with this thing. They're really trying to make it count. And there was a Sega Genesis Classic that came out, I think last year, maybe the year before. And it was made by At Games, I believe. And the general consensus was that it was not good. I didn't try it. I was tempted to buy it a few times, but every review, I haven't seen a good review of it yet. So I did get the Sega Genesis Classics collection on my Switch. It's okay. But I want that mini console to put next to my NES and my SNES one. Particularly if it's haggable. And this one looks pretty cool. So I hope Sega knocks this out of the park. I think they're going to. I can't remember the name of the company that they have doing all the emulation of the games, but apparently they're like as good as it gets in the business. So I'm pretty excited for that. I'm not pre-ordering it, at least not yet. But I am pretty interested in it. I plan on getting one. It looks rad. So if you guys are interested in that, there's a Sega Genesis Classic coming in September. It looks pretty cool. And hopefully the Nintendo 64 Classic is right behind it, Nintendo. Whew. Okay, that's a lot of rambling. I think I'm just about done talking now. Just quickly, before I get to what I'm playing and then talking about our episode this week, if you listen to this on Spotify, can you just, if you know me, I mean, you don't have to, like, I mean, leave me a good review would be rad, or leave me a message on Facebook or Twitter or something, but, like, if anyone was listening to this on Spotify, I just want to know if it's working, because I don't have a Spotify account, so I can't get in to it. I had, like, a free sample account, but I don't really know anything about how Spotify works, and when I went on to try to check, the last episode that it said was uploaded on my feed was Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, and that's, like, a dozen episodes ago. And I just don't know what's going on with it now. So according to our downloads is working, we had almost 1,000 downloads on Spotify in March. So I think it is working, but just, I want to make sure you guys are getting the new episodes and it's not just people finding old episodes and thinking the podcast is dead. So if you listen to this on Spotify, even one person, really just, if you know me in person, yell at me, shoot me a text, send me a Facebook message, a tweet, something, please just let me know that I'm not fucking this up any harder than I already fuck it up when I talk into the microphone like I have been for the last 10 minutes of an intro. Jesus. Okay, what have I been playing this week? Tetris 99 still. I love it. God, I love that game so much. I'm at 32 wins in 320 games exactly. So 1 out of 10, keeping the clip. It's fucking Tetris. It's probably the best Tetris game ever made, at least in my opinion. Like I said, my girlfriend and I have dipped into Yoshi's Crafted World on the Switch. It's fun. It's charming. It's gorgeous to look at. It is sickeningly easy, which I kind of expected, but even still, I'm just getting bored. It's not even bad. I'm just getting bored of it, but we'll finish it. This is a good game for my girlfriend and I to play together. So check that out if you have a spouse or somebody that doesn't play video games, or a kid that's really little, it's not good at video games. It's basically impossible to die in this one. You could play a two-player, and it'd be fun to play with somebody like that. And then my little brother and his girlfriend lent me their Nintendo 3DS and Majora's Mask. I've never played through Majora's Mask. I've tried it once, didn't really get into it. And so I was bound and determined. I was like, I got to get a playthrough of this done so I can do an eventual episode about it on this podcast, because everyone sings the praises of Majora's Mask. And I'm 3 or 4 hours in, and so far, so good. We'll see. Near the end, I have some likes. I have some dislikes. I'm not a huge 3D Zelda guy. I prefer my Zelda's two-dimensional. Top-down is perfect. But this one so far has been pretty rad. So I'll finish it, and then we'll do an episode on it, and I'll let you guys know what I think or don't think. There's already people probably writing angry emails because I said something even remotely negative about Majora's Mask, but fuck them. Fuck you. No, don't. It's fine. Whew, there's 11. Okay. This week, we are talking WWE SmackDown. Here comes the pain. My buddy Andre is back. Andre hosts some wrestling podcasts. You can find them on the Backbreaker Network. He's a huge wrestling fan, as am I. I loved this episode. I love this game. It's WrestleMania season. If you're not a wrestling fan, I'm sorry. Skip this week. We'll be back with something non-wrestling in 7 days. But until then, this game came out on October 27th, 2003 in North America for the PlayStation 2, considered by many the best game in the SmackDown series, maybe the best wrestling game of all time. It can go neck and neck with WWF No Mercy, depending on who you're asking. It's a pretty damn good game, and I'm excited to talk about it. Cue the music. Andre and I are going to sit back and you guys are going to sit back and relax. And listen to Andre and I talk about WWE SmackDown. Here comes the pain. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. All right, buddy. Well, first of all, Andre, welcome back, my friend. How was life?
Good.
It's too fucking cold.
Oh, dude, it's brutal.
It's been like a month. I know, like, literally anyone that's listening to this show, hopefully this one doesn't go up for a while, and by the time it goes up, it's fucking warm. But we're recording it on Happy Valentine's Day, man.
Yeah, Happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
This is what we're doing for Valentine's Day. Andre and I are sitting alone talking about video games. That's how fucking cool we are.
Yeah, that's totally the best Valentine's Day plans ever, you know?
So this week, we're going to dip back into the wrestling archives. I hope for the sake of my listeners that people that listen to this podcast like wrestling games, because I fucking love them. And so this is one of many, many episodes about them.
I know you've got at least a couple.
Oh, yeah. And so this week we are looking at the PlayStation 2. I'm going to straight up just call it a classic. SmackDown. Yep. Here comes the pain. I had to do a little homework for this one because it's been a long time. And this isn't one I could just pick up and play somewhere. Right. It's been like you said that you downloaded. You found a way to play it.
I found a way to play it. I had a buddy who owned a copy, so I ended up playing it. Let's just say that.
All right. And I haven't played this game in years and years. So this is the fifth SmackDown game. I was looking at it online because it was SmackDown and SmackDown 2.
Then Just Bring It.
Shut your mouth, and then it was Here Comes the Pain.
Here Comes the Pain. The first one that wasn't a Rock catchphrase.
Yeah, he didn't have
it. It was Brock's.
You know what? We'll get to the game in a second. I knew this forever. I just, like, it never really dawned on me until I was getting ready for this that, like, The Rock was so big that they created a second show and named it after something he said.
Yeah, and then they created an entire video game series off his catchphrases.
That's fucking wild, man. Like,
it's nuts.
I love The Rock so much.
Well, and he's become even huger today, but
yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
Like, the show's been on for 20 years, I think, or close.
It's coming up on 20 years. It's either hit its 20th or coming up on 20.
Yeah, and it's still, like, that name stays.
Yeah, it's this year sometime.
Yeah.
That's the 20th anniversary, because, 1999 was when it debuted, I think the fall.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So this is the fifth one.
I'll be honest with you, like, and I mean, we'll try to stick to this one as much as we can.
Oh yeah.
But I played the first couple on the original PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Not PlayStation 2, but on the original PlayStation as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found them okay. I thought the graphics were cool, but I found them kind of sloppy, just a little choppy with the controls and stuff. This one, they really hit their stride with controls, man.
Yeah, I think because you had a lot of game, like you had four games before this to really perfect your way you're doing the style
mm-hmm.
and how you're playing it, and mm-hmm. and the graphics much improved,
dude. Like, it's even from the previous SmackDown to this one, you wouldn't think they're on the same console. Like,
no,
looking at clips of it today, this morning, getting ready for this podcast. This is 2019, so this game has been out a long time. This is two generations of hardware ago.
Yeah.
This game still looks like surprisingly good.
Like, and you can tell it's nowhere near today, but that's again 15, mm-hmm. 16 years. But this game, it looked for the time, it looked beautiful. Like,
dude, it looked, yeah.
Like, the graphics were great. Like, you look at as the roster's going through the roster screen, everybody pops up.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, wow, they I think some of the likenesses in this one are better than some of the likenesses they put in the games today.
Yeah,
like
I agree with that.
I see some, like, I'm a diehard. I buy WWE every year.
Yeah,
and I look at some of them and I'm just like, that doesn't quite look like the face. But in back here, when you didn't have to go to, you still had detail, but not to the extent there is. I think they did a better job.
Yeah, dude, it looks really, really good. Like, it looks like. I mean, we're going to sit here and basically blow smoke up this game's ass mm-hmm. for the next 20
long,
minutes
yeah.
because it deserves it. But, like, the controls are tight, and it really, yeah, like, the graphics, like, it looks good. To this day, it looks fine. Like, I mean, I'm sure if you're, like, a kid who's used to PS4 and you started with your wrestling gaming on the 2K, like, 18, 2K19 games,
yeah.
you look at this and laugh, but I'm like, dude, this looks fucking good.
For growing up and, like, just about, I think I was, like, 15 when this came out. Like, this was huge. Like, the graphic style, the play style, everything was just, it was such an improvement, like, on everything you'd seen come before it.
Yeah. Well, because, like, okay, so I just did one of these the other day. I don't know what order these are going to go up in, about another wrestling game.
Okay.
I don't want to say which one it is in case it hasn't gone up yet.
Okay.
But outside of the Nintendo 64 THQ games, like those big four, wrestling games have always looked kind of silly. Like, when they try to hit their moves, there's a lot of, like, they go cardboard, fall over, and you know what I mean? Like, they just look kind of, they didn't look quite right. Something about them didn't look quite right.
And I'm not sure if it was the one before this, but this era, this is where the game, where they actually started, the moves looked like you're coming off, like, Brock's F5. It looked like he got him on the shoulder,
yeah.
and it looked perfect. He looks like he's driving that head into the ground. It yeah. didn't look as blocky as it used to.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look quite as fake, frankly, like, yeah. as cardboardy. And, like, and I'm sure that's a hard thing to do, like, to take all of these different wrestlers with all these different body types and put them in all these moves and try to make the moves look good.
Yeah.
It has to be a ridiculously hard thing to do.
And I don't know if they were doing mocap back then either, because now with motion capture, you can capture a lot of those moves just mm-hmm. by having a person move around.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, I don't think they were doing, I don't think WWE was putting their guys into their, with the creation teams
yeah.
to do the mocap, because, like, you have legit professional wrestlers doing, like Ricochet did like all his high flying moves. He did them in the Performance Center with mocap on.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, like, I don't think they did that back then. And that's a hard to
Dude,
do. Like,
it's insane. Like, it's like, looking at it, I was like, this is really, like, to me, this was the first game that took the realistic styling of, like, the Attitude and the original SmackDown games and combined them with, like, I've always felt the wrestling, the No Mercy games, like the Nintendo 64 ones look kind of cartoony. I love them, but they look kind of cartoony.
They were like, they were this cartoony.
Yeah.
Play.
Like, and I felt like this was really the first one that hit that perfect stride of combining the fluidity of those Nintendo 64 games with the realism of the early SmackDown and the Attitude and stuff like that games.
Yeah. It gave you the feel like, and I don't know. It just, the play style for me, it didn't feel choppy anymore. Like,
no,
it always felt choppy. Like, I guess, and that's kind of weird to say in wrestling, but yeah. choppy. But it always felt like when you're punching a guy, it's like, and they fall back. But this one, it felt like fluid punching.
Yeah, it wasn't fluid. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that came in a couple series before, but if, like, I know this one, it feels fluid.
Yeah. This game is like, to this day, I think that this is probably the number one contender to No Mercy for the greatest wrestling game. Like, when most, at least greatest WWF game.
Well,
when people argue about it, this one can hold its own against No Mercy.
I think it was the fact, like, of what you put into this game that you have, like, now you have, at this point, Brock Lesnar is probably the top guy in that company.
Yeah.
This game's, like, it's using his catchphrase, "Here comes the pain."
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's just, I know this game, when I was a kid, was huge. And even, like, a year or two after, when you got into SmackDown versus Raw and all the other games,
mm-hmm.
this one was still insanely important.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people still went back and played that one, even though there was newer games to play.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. It's, like, it's funny, because, like, you can look back at the 16-bit era games, and wrestling in the 16-bit era was fun, but they were pretty basic.
Royal Rumble, that was probably the best.
Right. And then I feel like No Mercy was where they originally, like, that was where they kind of took that first, I know you could argue the ones before, but No Mercy was like the original perfection of the move into 3D.
Of the three, yeah, the 3D.
But then
games,
this
yeah.
was, I really feel like this game was the next perfection, like the next leap into making it look like a realistic
just
3D
to make it seem
game.
Like you were actually controlling two full-on yeah. wrestlers versus yeah. two cartoony fun guys in
and,
there, yeah.
And it wasn't just the graphics, man. Like this one, like it took me a minute like watching the videos to be like, oh yeah, I remember this. Like they nailed the controls. You know, one of my arguments with the original early realistic looking games, like the Attitude style games, was you had to put in like the button combinations to fucking hit a move, which was so frustrating.
But this one's hold a button, push the direction.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the control system they still base it on today.
Right.
Because I think that was the best control system ever.
It is. Right. Now, this is still THQ. And if you remember, like, in the Nintendo 64 days, I know I keep going back to them, you guys, but if you're a wrestling gamer,
game.
You know
you,
those games
oh, yeah.
are, right? Like, it used to be you would hit A to light grapple, or you would hold A to strong grapple, and then up, down, left, or right, plus A would do a move.
Yeah.
Right? And in this one, you hold up, down, left, or right, and then hit A, or whatever button it is,
X
to grapple, square, but you grab you. Four different types of grapples, like strong, fucking...
Is every cat... If you tap the X again, I'm going through PlayStation.
Yeah.
If you tap X, it's like a regular grab move. But if you hold X or whatever, it's a stronger. It's a
yeah.
different move, but in the same direction.
Which is from their original gameplay. But instead of just making a generic grapple, there are four different types of grapples with
and like
each arrow.
Yeah. If you do, but if you just hit down. It's the one, so you can get eight in total. That's the
right.
thing.
So there's eight different types of grapples, and then each grapple has four different moves assigned to it.
Yeah.
Which is like, dude, they took their own formula and found a way to make it infinitely deeper.
Oh, very much so.
Because that's one of the things about these early games is like, you realistically only have half a dozen moves that you use, right? You know what I mean? Like you have your four light grapple moves, your four heavy grapple moves.
Yeah, but just going through, like I said, I played this recently. You go through Creator Wrestler, and if you get it, you just go on Exhibition Creator Wrestler. You can pick through there's a crazy amount of moves in this game.
Yeah, it's nuts, eh?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I forgot about this game until I was researching is not only is there an insane amount of moves, which makes the Creator Wrestler has gotten crazier and crazier by the year. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. You can literally create anyone today. Almost right down to their actual likeness if you put enough time into
it. Oh, look, okay, I go on Community Creations and it's just crazy. Some of them.
But even here, like this game is almost 20. Like I'm looking at it right now. This was released in 2003.
Yeah.
So what is that? 16 years ago.
Yeah, it'd be about 15 and a half years ago. Yeah.
And even back then, the Creator Wrestler is sick. And I mean, like what you can do with your outfit and all that kind of stuff is cool. But you're right. That's always been my favorite thing about creating a wrestler is the sheer list of moves. And you flip through and you're like, oh, like I've never even seen some of
these
moves.
You can combo
before.
Like a guy with an F5 that also has a 450 splash.
Yeah, yeah.
Which for actually Brock Lesnar can do a shooting star, but you know what I mean?
Well, kind of.
Almost.
Yeah.
Hey, he used to hit it in OVW all the time.
Yeah, he did.
But, like, it's just being able to put those different types of moves in or hit, like, have a guy who can hit the choke slam but also can hit a 619. Where now, they break up that moves now. But.
Yeah. But that's one of those things that, like, they didn't have to put that many moves in and nobody would have complained. You know what
no.
I mean? But they just did. And I think that's the type of stuff. Like, those are the types of things that give the polish to a game like this that make it stand the test of time. And
just
I know
having,
it's not the only
just having
one,
multiple
but.
Kinds of arm drags, multiple kinds of
yeah.
of hip tosses, that
yeah.
or multiple times of types of choke slam.
Clotheslines.
Or clotheslines.
Yeah, yeah.
It's...
You can really, really get unique and make your guy play the way you want him to play.
You can have your guy play exactly. Yeah, like you can have him. If you like the way that Big Show does a chokeslam over how Kane does a chokeslam, or you just don't like how either does. There's probably another chokeslam in that game.
Yeah, there's tons. Yeah. And one of the things I loved about this game was that you could go into current wrestlers and change whatever you wanted about them.
Oh, yeah.
That was fucking rad. So if a guy, like you could go into Chris Jericho, who wasn't doing the Codebreaker in 2003.
You can put the Codebreaker
and give him the Codebreaker. Because I promise that move is in the game somewhere.
It's in there somewhere. It has to be. Like, it's yeah.
That's the type of shit that, like, I fucking adore when companies put that kind of, attention to detail into their game.
Or if you wanted somebody else's finisher, like you wanted the Olympic Slam for your character, you go in and change, you could change Kurt Angle's to a side Russian leg sweep, and then you've got the Olympic Slam or the Angle Slam, whatever you want to call it.
It gives it infinite replay, because if you want to just, I'm not even ashamed to admit it. I used to do this. I don't remember if I did it by the time this game came out, but I used to run like my own federations just by myself, where I would like write down their records and keep track of like who was wrestling it. People are making fun of me.
I think a lot of us wrestling fans did that.
Sure. And so like to be able to not only do that, but to go in and like, oh, I can change fucking Kurt Angle's entrance and put him in DX if I want to, and then change his finisher too if I want to, that, like I fucking love when they put that kind of detail into a game.
It makes it so much more fun because you can have like your own real characters, like you said, like if you really wanted to. Like, I know in this game, I think being the fact that it was season three, I think it's Haas, Benjamin, and Angle are known as Angle in that game.
So they were
you can make them the NWO, or you can make them DX.
Dude.
Like you could turn them into, and you could like, but still being who they are, but you can make them your version of the NWO.
I love that you could make like that, like the NWO to a lesser extent DX. And it's funny because I liked DX more than the NWO back in the day.
Yeah,
but in a wrestling video game, I would much prefer to be able to make my own NWO.
Oh, if I'm like, to this day when I'm playing, I'll take the NWO entrance as like my stables trio entrance over a DX entrance.
Of course, yeah. So, okay, so the customization is sick. The sheer amount of moves is ridiculous. The graphics are beautiful. The controls are great. One of the other things I wanted to touch on in this game is the roster. Now,
like, some of the legends.
Dude, like, now, to be fair, it doesn't do anything that 99% of wrestling games since even before this one did, where they just take all the wrestlers that are on the roster and throw them into the game. And I know there's a couple exceptions, like there is every year. But just, you know what, honestly, dude, watching these videos flashed me back to being a wrestling fan in this era. And I really feel like this was right around here, like in that Brock Lesnar, Thug Life, John Cena. That era is like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and all them. It's like this was where, to me, they kind of lost their footing post attitude when they did the invasion, and the invasion kind of sucked and everything.
Yeah.
And this is where they had gotten their stride back.
I think this was after, like, because you had that weird 2002, and I think late 2002 and 2003 really developed the SmackDown 6. Like, you had SmackDown became your pure wrestling show.
Yeah.
Raw became your entertainment show, but it became its own style of entertainment. And then, SmackDown just became this pure great wrestling, and then this kind of game captured it all.
Dude, the roster is so good, and it's like, it's fun to look back on it now and be like, fuck, there are some legends in this game.
I was looking this up, and there's a few guys that this is the only game they are ever in. Ultimo Dragon, this is the only WWE, I don't know if he's been in other games.
Sure.
It's the only WWE. Ultimo Dragon is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, for good and bad. He's one of my favorite WrestleMania entrances of all time, because he slips on his cape and coming out for that Battle Royal at WrestleMania 20. But he was just that. He was Rey Mysterio before Rey Mysterio ever was. It's, I don't know. And the other one was Sean O'Hare, which I don't think many people remember that guy.
No, I loved Sean O'Hare. Man.
He was phenomenal. Like, and when he first started wrestling, I hated him so much because he used the, what he called the Swanton Bomb.
Yeah, it was the Swanton
Bomb. Swanton. It was so mad. But they only recently did I realize Jeff Hardy stole that from PCO.
Sure. And, but I mean, like, to watch him do it, it was like, this is a 6.5-foot fucking giant doing the Swanton Bomb. Yeah.
And then George the Animal Steel and being in this game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, like, I don't think, you've never seen him in there before. He's never been in it again. But I think it's a character that I think today, I think fans, if they put that in a new release, would be like, oh my God, George the Animal Steel, because he's this legendary character,
right?
But nobody's ever gotten to use him much.
I don't remember if this was the first game that had legends, but I do remember the legends. Like, and I have a couple of them right here in front of me now. Like, I just remember thinking it was so rad that, like, Vintage Taker was in it. Roddy Piper, well, Jimmy Snuka, the Million Dollar Man was in it. Like, just I thought was so rad to be able to play as these old school guys.
Well, especially for Taker, you get multiples of a bunch of characters. I know in the last game it was multiples Ray Wyatt, multiples Dan O'Briens, but now you get for this early on when Taker's an active member of the roster. Like, no, it's getting to, and he's just still his Biker Taker character.
He was Biker Taker then, yeah.
And you get him, you get to play as his early 90s Undertaker, like the purple and all this. It's kind of awesome.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
You know what, man? Just talking, like, it just puts a smile on my face. Like, this game was cool. And what I love about this is, like, so many games today, and I mean, maybe they would have done this back then if they could, but so many games today hide behind DLC and paywalls, and they kind of cheap out on games, and then they throw in extra stuff, but you got to pay for it and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
This game, it was like, okay, well, we have two more weeks before we have to do the final right-click save as and ship this game. What else can we squish in? Like, what other wrestler can we squish in?
This game didn't have Hogan in it. That was a last-minute, I guess, decision because he left the company.
Yeah, it didn't have Jeff Hardy either.
Yeah, because both of them left the company during the summer before this game came out, which is kind of crazy without you thinking about how long a game needs development.
Yeah.
If they're deleting everything in, like, was it like July or August, having to put this game in? That's crazy.
Yeah, but they left like all their shit in. Like, you could create them if you wanted.
Yeah.
To,
you
like,
could create them. But it's the fact, like, you deleting a character out isn't easy because you have to reprogram it so people can't access the files and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I fucking just flipping through it. I was like, God, I love the roster of this game. And I won't even, like, I know he catches some heat from people now and stuff, and that's fine. But I'm more embarrassed for my English than I am for fucking who I played. I played the fuck out of this game as John Cena, because original pre-WWE champion Thug Life John Cena is one of my favorite K-Mics of all time.
I love John Cena at this point. Like,
he was
just
rad.
before he dropped the album and he turned face. This is a great John Cena. Another of my guilty pleasures for this game is gonna sound really weird is A-Train. A-Train, I don't know why. Right? I was always a fan of A-Train, and in the I don't know why.
That's fair, whatever. That's
He's just this big dude who had a weird
big
gimmick.
Hairy cat,
2 years before he had the Prince Albert gimmick, and that's just weird.
So, but in this game, is he like the Scotty Too Hotty A-Train?
No, he's, or is he like the TNA 2003 A-Train, where it's him. He's like, he was teaming up with Big Show in 2003.
Oh, fuck.
And he's just big burly A-Train who's just like got the piercings on his lips. That's it. And I don't know why. I always liked
fine.
Him.
That's fine. I think it's funny. I love it. That's fucking awesome.
I don't know. I always liked A-Train. I don't know why.
As much as I despise him, I liked playing Goldberg in this game too. Because Goldberg. I was like, and I hate Goldberg.
I think this is the last time you saw Goldberg. This is the only game at this point, because he only just come into the company here before. and then, or just this that year. And I don't think you'd see him in a game again until I think a couple years ago when they did the Goldberg release.
Yeah, he has to be like a legend now, right?
Oh yeah, he's but, like they put him in a couple years ago as a legend in the game.
There's something weird about Goldberg where you can fucking hate him like I do, but it's still fun to play as him. It's so fun to just spear Jackhammer and just feel like a monster, right?
Oh,
like,
it's so much fun.
So the roster is rad. Graphics are rad. The gameplay is rad. Oh, yeah. Quickly, I wanted to touch on one of the slight knocks I had on this game is they do kind of half-ass some of the entrances.
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
Come out of the top of the ramp, then they're instantly at the ring and stuff like that.
Yeah, you don't get their walk down and their ring poses.
Kind of bug me, but unquestionably the best entrance in this game, because it's a top five entrance in pro wrestling history, is Matt Hardy's Mattitude entrance with the Mad Facts and the screen and everything. I fucking adore that entrance.
I love
man.
It so much. I was a huge Hardy Boys fan as a kid, and when they broke up, it broke my heart. And then when I think Matt only got better when he broke away and went there, he started being this the cocky heel.
Yeah, yeah.
He would come out and like and just the Matt facts were great. It's just like Matt Hardy likes mustard on his on his burger, or Matt. It's just the it really like I think the quote of the day is a Kurt Hawkins facts thing.
Right.
He stole that from Matt Hardy. Like I thought that was genius.
I forgot all about it. Then watching the video, someone put a clip of Matt Hardy's Mattitude entrance, and I was like, yes.
Oh, the Matt
that was
facts.
The best.
Oh, they're so good.
Before Edge,
and then he had Shannon Moore with him too.
That's
As the Mattitude follower,
an MF-er.
And MF-er. And Crash Holly at one point too.
Brilliant. So this game, one of my other notes here. Oh yeah, had no commentary, which I love because commentary in sports games gets old really fast.
Oh, it does. But the thing, I think one of the coolest additions, it's continued on, is the Elimination Chamber.
And that's what I was going to say. The two things that this game introduced, one is incredible and one sucks. And the one that sucks, we can spend 3 seconds on. It's bra and panty matches. I don't care.
It's of the era.
It
that's
looks
what
awful.
It is. It's of the era.
They're the one thing in that game that still looks cardboardy and shitty because I'm sure it's hard to make like floppy clothes. But
you have to tear
stupid.
The clothes off and then they you
play them
render
once and you're
two
done.
Versions of every sprite.
Yeah, but the Elimination Chamber. So the Elimination Chamber match as a whole feels like something someone would have created for a video game. Like it almost
but it created
seems
for
fake.
Real life. Like it's like it's like they said the year before when they created it. Let's create this so we can put it in our video game next year.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
A huge cage that surrounds the ring. You put glass chambers in the corners. You can wrestle out of the ring but still wrestle on steel.
And that pay-per-view's this Sunday.
Yeah. You can by the time you've heard this,
it's long past.
It's long done. You could jump off the cell. Like it's like I used my go-to match used to be when ladder matches came in and they were good, I loved the ladder match. And then I know a lot of my buddies, like we play Royal Rumbles and we like Hell in a Cell. But my favorite match to this day in a video game like this is Elimination Chamber.
To this day, you go online and play an Elimination Chamber online. It's nuts.
Dude, they're the best. It's such an insane match. Like, they not only was this the game that introduced them, but they did it really well.
Like
it played great.
Perversely, I went into this game and I went in to play an Elimination Chamber mode. So I picked Brock Lesnar, who's one of the highest rated characters in the game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because some of the ratings are like 67 for some of these guys.
Yeah,
and the
weird,
women
right?
are in the 40s. It's very weird. And so I start clicking through people, and you can actually select the women to be in the Elimination Chamber with Brock with the men. So I was like,
intergender.
I put a bunch of different people. I put Bubba Ray, a couple other men, and I put two women in there, and like they hit like they would hit you nothing.
Yeah, of course,
nothing.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's just a really fun match, and it's something I'm so happy they created and put into the games, and it's continued to this day.
Yeah. And it's like, honestly, like watching them, I could take or leave it on TV. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. But to play them in a video game is as entertaining as it gets. They're
oh, very
so
much so,
good.
Yeah.
And like this was, I know this wasn't the first game to do it, but they were just, I still found the novelty of having six guys on the screen at once cool.
Yeah, because I think you'd have like six-man Elimination Chambers and like multi-man ladder
and
matches. And then your Rumbles, I think at that point would max out at six people. You could six or eight people. You couldn't have more than that many in the ring
because
the game couldn't handle it. So it would literally wait. And once one was eliminated, then they would bring another one in.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber is sick. So then, and another thing I wanted to bring up was you could fight backstage in this one.
Yep.
And some of the places you could fight backstage, like you could fight into Times Square.
Yeah,
you and then go jump off like billboards and stuff like that. That's crazy. Helicopters and shit.
The fact that they made it Times Square is the best part. Like,
yeah.
And I think at one point you see WWF New York, their old restaurant in there.
Yeah.
When you're fighting, you can see WWF New York, and I think you can actually access it at some point in the game. I can't remember.
It's funny because like I'm all for like this isn't the first game to have backstage fighting.
No,
but they did a great job of it. Like you could fight in like a locker room where you could put guys through a wall. You could fight a parking lot and drive around on a motorcycle or drive a forklift and shit.
Drive a forklift and a motorcycle in a wrestling game.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
It almost feels out of place because I really feel like, oh yeah, and I meant to talk about this right off the top and I forgot. They really went more simulation-y with this one as far as the gameplay goes. Like, remember, you could work a body part. You could pick a guy's head or his arms
or whatever,
and then submissions would hit harder and stuff, which I love. Like, I like my wrestling games.
It's back to it this day. Like, you target certain body parts of the moves now, but this was more... Yeah, tag guy, you hurt him in general.
Yeah, which I loved. I love that simulation style of gameplay. But it's funny that they really seem to be moving in that direction with this game, but then they also added the ability to fight in Times Square and jump off billboards and helicopters.
I know. There's some great going more towards realism, but then there's some just out of nowhere, like, you're not going to be fighting in Times Square.
No, but it's pretty rad, though. Especially if you want to do hardcore matches. You can do a hardcore match. And, like, there's something about watching the hardcore matches on TV, and when it was a good one, it seemed so over the top and so crazy, and you were able to recreate that in this game with this stupid backstage. Because
you just start smacking the crap out of each other with garbage can lids and cookie sheets. Oh,
it's so dumb.
Such a blast.
So then the last thing that I wanted to bring up was the career mode. Now, here's my opinion, because I actually like the career mode in this game.
This is the kind of career mode they'd focus on for a lot of years, up until about a few years ago when they started doing like general manager mode and like universe mode, and they have now, and then now they have like a special story. Like this year was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, yeah. Now, but this one, like, because you went from Backlash, which is the event right after WrestleMania, basically through a calendar year to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And you could, like, you couldn't walk around in the backstage, but you could go to your locker and they'd pick you wanted to go deal with someone.
Which was a feature they took out, because you could actually walk around backstage in...
In the previous ones,
The last two, I think, Just Bring It and... the last two, whatever they were.
But that felt kind of dumb. Like, we would walk around, but not really do a lot. Like,
all you do is walk to that locker room and then accept something.
Yeah.
So, really, it's not like you just walk around and randomly get in a fight. I think there was a couple instances you could get into Backstreet's Brawls, but you're still going to get those Backstreet's Brawl going through season mode this way.
Yeah. One of the things I like about this season mode is that they got rid of the walking around and you just go to your locker and then pick, like, oh, I want to do this. I want to talk to this person.
That's something I wish they get rid of now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I loved that, because this was when the Bischoff and Stephanie era, and you could go and talk to them and ask for title shots or ask to be traded to the other show.
Yeah,
which was rad.
Which is kind of awesome. Like, the fact that you're if you don't like what you're doing on the Raw, you can go switch. I'm gonna go wrestle the SmackDown guys and go, and you get traded over. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, because it because my favorite mode in wrestling games has always been the career mode, right? And like, career mode started with you just wrestle up a ladder of 9 guys, get a title, that's it.
Very much so.
It's cool that they added this kind of stuff in. One thing that I feel like a wrestling, and I'm surprised that like they haven't nailed it the way I want them to do it yet in a 2K game, is like, I feel like they're getting close, is like, I just want a career mode where it's fucking, I play 20 years, which I know they're working on. I start off in the indies, go to NXT, get called up, and I know they're working on all that.
This year was the closest, but it only spans like a year.
Yeah.
Like, you start as an indie wrestler, then you move it into the feds.
Why can't I play a career? Like, I want a real career. I want the Royal Rumble winner to main event WrestleMania every year. I want the Money in the Bank consistent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, like, give me all of it.
Yeah,
like,
do an indie fed for a couple years, then you go to do your NXT for a couple years, and then you play your career out.
When I retire, I want to, like, let me see all my stats.
And there's literally a Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, like, I just, and like, I'm not, like, I know we're kind of going on a rant, this is nothing with Here Comes the Pain, but I'm like, why can't they do a career mode like that? It just doesn't seem that hard to me.
That would be amazing.
Having said that, this was a pretty good career mode.
Oh, yeah. I think this was the start of what they would perfect over the next 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. This game, man, this game, dude, I was looking at some of the old review scores for this game, and it's like 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I looked at a bunch. They were like 9.5. I think the lowest I saw was like a 7.5.
Yeah.
Or, I think it was a 7.5 was the lowest I saw, which is insane for, like, at this era for these games. It's like, that's really, really good.
Yeah. And I think that anyone that's played a ton of wrestling games would put, like, this has to be a top 5 on their wrestling list, right? Like, I mean, I think... I know I've said 100 times, I'm not even going to apologize for it anymore. I know No Mercy is the gold standard. It's the one everyone talks about.
Oh, yeah.
This game can go toe-to-toe with No Mercy in a heartbeat.
For And there's a generation, like for me, like my No Mercy was being played with my friends.
Yeah.
This series was the epitome of the games for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one especially. And like, so like I have, if I think back to that early days, it's Here Comes the Pain. It's Shut Your Mouth. It's Just Bring It. It's those games that I think about most when I think back to the old days of gaming.
I have nothing else to say. Do you?
Not me either.
We brought the pain. Oh, yeah, and Brock Lesnar's in it. Brock Lesnar. I fucking to this day love Brock Lesnar. I don't even care. He's awesome.
This was the last game he was in up until I think he came back in WWE 12 or 11 or 12.
Because this was after he left.
Because he would leave the following March after WrestleMania with Brock, that shit storm with Brock, with Goldberg.
How's it WrestleMania 20?
Yeah.
That's the one that never happened. Pay-per-view doesn't exist, sir.
According to WWE, it doesn't.
you'll know. If you're listening to this, you know what we're talking about. Andre, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give WWE SmackDown Here Comes the Pain?
8.
Yeah, I'll go 8.5. It's a fucking good game, man.
Oh, great game,
To this day, it's good. I wish...
Very much
so. I mean, you know what? One thing that's frustrating about wrestling games is that you're never really going to see re-releases of them because there's too many likenesses in them that they can't get the
too many likenesses, and because they just release a new one every year.
Every year now, yeah. So, yeah. It's Madden. It's just like Madden.
Oh, yeah. It's Madden. It's NHL. It's become a franchise, a sports franchise. Simple as that.
Yes, sir. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for coming over and doing this.
Always happy to.
I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to get in trouble for using music, but if I haven't already done it by the time I get to this outro, I am totally using John Cena's Thug Life theme to get out because I fucking love that song so much.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks, buddy. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camps for ransom, the microphone phantom. Teams hit the floor, this the new fight joint. Like a broken needle, kid, you missing a point. We dominate your conference with offense that's no nonsense. My theme song hits, get your reinforcements. We strike quick with hard kicks. And that's going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Andre, thank you for coming over. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. If you have listened to this prior to WrestleMania on Sunday, then I hope you enjoy WrestleMania. If you're going to watch it, if you listen to this after WrestleMania, I hope it didn't suck as much as I think it's going to. And go Miz, and that's about it. If you're listening to this anywhere, please leave me a good review. I'd really appreciate it. If you're on Spotify in particular, if you could just shoot me a message and let me know it's working, that would be rad. As soon as I get one, I'll post it all over so that nobody else, you guys don't all have to fucking message me. But I would just like to know that these things are showing up on Spotify. And thanks for listening, guys. We have some great episodes coming up. I always say that every week, and eventually I'm going to deliver on that promise. But there's some great games coming up anyways from all kinds of different systems and genres and eras and... onward and upward as we chase episode 50. I figured out what game we're going to talk about. I got to find the right guest and I got to make it happen, but it's going to be fun. Thanks, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Too much rambling this week, as always, but that's what I do. Thanks for listening, and I will be back again in 7 days with another episode of Remember the Game. Take it easy, you guys. Go Miz. Cheers.